When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're in with Joe Lenzi, Senior Vice President of Treasury Management at Associated Bank. Joe, welcome.
Glad to be here. Thanks a lot, Steve.
I want to focus our conversation on fraud and scams and how banks are trying to detect fraud and scams and make it safer for all of us to participate in the system. And there was a report out that said that financial fraud scams sort of has a forensic outline of fraud scams, where they begin, where the middle is, where the end is, and how finding the right place to intervene might actually stop it in its tracks. Talk to us a little bit about this. I mean, is this a way to attack this, is to have a forensic plan?
Yeah, I think good planning for anything is good, right? Is best. So understanding where the leaks might be and where you could be defrauded as a company is the starting point. But also understanding a process, if it does happen, is also something that you want to make sure you have lined up.
Mm-hmm. This report said that the scams and frauds unfold usually across a predictable life cycle. Talk to us a little bit about that life cycle.
Yeah, so first thing you're going to see in many cases is you're going to have some type of phishing expedition, right? So this could be an email, this could be a text, this could be a phone call. They're going to try to reach out to you. And in today's world with AI and some of the technology out there, the fraudsters can do this at mass scale. So it's not just one person standing behind a desk pushing an email to you. They're doing it at a mass level. So all it takes is a few bites for them to get you hooked. It could start off with something very, very honest and mm-hmm. and something just to engage you. And before you know it, you're giving them information they could use to possibly defraud you. It could be an account number, could be a password, could be anything like that where they can go out and do it.
Yeah, and they're getting really good at it too. I mean, sometimes I get just a text message that says, hey, how are you? Or is this the right number? Or something like that. So they're phishing for my phone number, and that would probably lead them to someplace else.
It could definitely do that. Yeah. I get the same messages all the time. They don't give me their name right away. Yep. They don't tell me why they're reaching out to me. Hey, how are you doing? Like, I should know who you are. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually a telltale sign that there's a fraudster on the other end of that.
Yeah. The more sophisticated stuff, though, and we hear about this all the time, is you mentioned artificial intelligence, where it's a voice of somebody who sounds like maybe somebody at your bank. It's a phone number that is from your bank that they've sort of spoofed that phone number. It's so complicated that they've taken such great pains to kind of copy the bank. How are you fighting that?
Well, it's not easy. I think we've all seen this stuff in our own personal lives, right? Whether it's videos on social media or TV where they look very real. I think there's a lot of popular things out there. If you see whether it's animals that seem to be attacking people, but they're not, or celebrities. We see it where it could be a fake voice on the other end, or you could even see in a situation where people are using whether Zoom or webcast or whatever it may be to fake an image of themselves. We definitely see those out there, and the voices sound much more real and realistic, where historically maybe you hear it on the other end and you're like, they obviously are a fraudster. I think it's getting a lot harder to see that nowadays.
This report that I mentioned at the beginning of our interview also talked about how maybe one of the best ways to attack frauds and scams is to be at the beginning of it. So you detect a device, you detect a malware threat before it actually triggers fraud. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so there's obviously when you have bad guys with AI trying to utilize AI to penetrate your system and defraud you, there's ways you can use AI to help protect that. So I think the most obvious ones are you see on the front end with emails, preventing mass emails from coming in. We've probably all been on the other end of it where we're trying to email somebody and it's not getting through, and there's other things that we need to do to get that email to come through. We're all doing that to protect ourselves so there's not those fraudulent emails coming in. We're seeing companies too, not just from a banking perspective, but doing a lot of things on the front end with like their websites. Okay. Think of a consumer website where you're taking a payment. In many circumstances, you could have AI bots trying to penetrate that system. Yeah. They could be utilizing fake information. They could be trying to get in there and steal information. They could be doing a lot of things. So we're seeing AI where it could detect this is a bot and not an individual trying to buy a movie ticket or something along that lines. You see it a lot on the consumer side, I think, more than anything, because it's just there's so many transactions that go through, it makes it easier for them to try to penetrate, even if it's a few transactions here or there.
I've noticed when I do banking with my phone, it's happening less now because I've identified my phone as a common device. And I saw that in this report that that's one of the goals is to fingerprint devices so that the bank, when I log in, knows that's my device.
Yeah, and a lot of times what you'll see is they'll send a code. So if you're utilizing that device for the first time, you're able to utilize that text message code. So if you were an online banking user, whether it's consumer or commercial, you might have that saved. A lot of your commercial banks will also have tokens which generate codes in which you're able to verify who you are, especially if you're using a new device.
Mm-hmm. I often joke, and maybe I shouldn't joke about it, but it's sort of like that cartoon Spy versus Spy. You have to be just as good as the spy every time, right? You have to be just as good as the bad guy every time to outsmart them in terms of technology.
For sure. But with all the technology out there, we still see a lot of the most simple things go on, whether it's check fraud, whether it's somebody that gets a fake email and sends something. So it's like anything else. I look at it like this. I look at it, a good analogy I could use is your own home, right? Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you lock your doors. Not everyone does, because I know I've heard people who simply go up and turn a doorknob and it opens. You might have an alarm system. Now we all have video cameras. We have motion detectors. You might hire private security. I think the same goes for banking and for companies and individuals, right? Do you use good passwords? Are you using the same device? Excuse me. Are you having protections like check blocks and ACH filters on your bank accounts? Do you have a process with your people when you're sending a payment? Are you using dual approval? Mm. Are you a company that welcomes people questioning stuff? You know, I think there's a lot of companies out there that sometimes, would you be okay at your company if someone delayed sending that payment and made sure it was right? Or would you get on that person if they sent something that they thought might not be going to the right source, or they saw something slightly fishy about it?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about the people who are in charge, and I guess maybe you're one of them. The survey said that half of executives who are in charge of fraud and risk prevention, fraud prevention and risk assessment, have been unable to detect and react to new fraud trends because they're just not hearing about them enough. Is there just not enough information that's circulating out there about all of this?
Well, I hope I'm doing my part circulating
right.
that.
Right.
I'm talking to you today, yeah. But we also do a lot at the bank to inform our clients. Whether it's individual meetings, it's a topic that comes up virtually on every time we talk to a client, particularly if we're doing a type of review. The other thing I will say is, and this speaks to what you just talked about there, is we do a lot of webcasts on specific types of fraud throughout the year. We don't have to do a lot to market them. I could tell you we get hundreds of people that ask us about them. And, you know, we record that, we make a print about it, and we try to do everything we can to stay on the front end of these things. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I could sit here and talk to you all day about the different types of scams I've seen over the years. Some are, again, are very simple, and some kind of get more complicated. But there is no worst feeling when you have a client on the other end and they're telling you that they think they were scammed.
Yeah.
And you have to get into action very, very quickly. But I always say this, it's a topic that I don't necessarily want to talk about, but it's something I have to talk about because we see it so, so often. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when someone's going to attempt this on you.
Right. And for these decision makers, it's probably a topic they don't want to hear about, but they have to hear about it. They have to be up on everything.
You're thinking of how to grow your business. You're thinking about financials. You're thinking about your people. You're not necessarily thinking about how the next person's going to rip you off or the next fraudster is going to be out there to get you. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's very difficult sometimes for them to really focus on it. And let's face it, there's other risks in business, right? There's losing customers. There's all these other things, other risks they have to worry about. Financial fraud risk isn't necessarily always one of those things that's front and center.
I know in talking with your colleagues on our thought leader conversations over the months and years, one of the ways that we've gauged the success in battling the fraudsters is how much money is being lost to these things every year. We're, you know, it's in the billions of dollars. Is that number still going up?
I don't think it has stopped going up, yeah. Unfortunately. And I will also tell you that there's a lot of those numbers that it's probably higher than whatever's posted, because I don't think a lot of people are very truthful with it. I think that a lot of times, if they can, they don't want to publicize that this happened to them, right? They don't want to they don't want someone looking at them and thinking that they're an easy target, right? So I think a lot of it goes unreported. Where I've seen, unfortunately, is sometimes people don't get serious until they either have a really close attempt or they have a situation where they lose thousands of dollars at a time. So unfortunately, sometimes that's how it goes.
I want to change topics here just briefly since we have you on. I want to ask you about some of the banking predictions for this year. Scams is obviously one of them. We've hit that pretty hard. But what do you see as being big for this year coming up? I know some analysts have been saying obviously, we'll be watching interest rates pretty closely. We'll be watching mergers. What's on your radar?
I think rates is always the topic of the banking world, right? We're predicting 2 rate cuts this year at Associated. I think the thing when it comes to predicting rates is no one's really ever been great at predicting them. They seem to go at their own pace. So that's definitely something. I do think you're going to see M&A this year. I think we continue to see companies that are looking to be inquisitive and looking for the right deal. We have a couple lines of business that really specialize in this, and I think both have quite a bit of activity already going this year.
Yeah. And when you say M&A, just for the folks who may not know, that's mergers and acquisitions. And if interest rates go down, that would just be more fuel to the fire for that M&A activity, wouldn't it?
Correct. If they can lock in lower rates, many times it allows them to borrow more money, which could allow them to make certain deals work. I think in general, though, the fact that rates are already low and people aren't expecting them to go up gives folks certainty on rates, which in many cases is what helps with the M&A front. Still doesn't mean that prices align with what a buyer is looking to do, but typically lower rates mean more activity when it comes to M&A.
What industries do you see being ripe for M&A this year?
Well, Associated, we just announced a merger not long ago, so I think you'll continue to see it in banking. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a lot of other industries. We have manufacturers that are making a lot of purchases. I think I've seen it, a couple service companies. I don't think it's one particular business when I stop and think that it's just that industry that's doing it. I've seen it across. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in retailers. I've seen it all across all industries.
Okay. Well, a great conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Best way to reach me is via email. That's Joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H .Lenzie, L-E-N-Z-I-E @associatebank.com.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.